age. And certainly the Roman age gave the money for this building program to go on. By best reckoning, between about 70 AD and 220 AD, the Mediterranean tourist trade was created. Most of the monuments that visitors go to see in the Mediterranean world, particularly in Turkey or in Greece or in Syria, that was put up in this period of the High Roman Empire, where the civic elites just poured out money to the benefit of their cities. But the building of cities in the Roman age were not just recreations of Hellenized cities. There have been a number of important studies that showed that the cities adopted Roman architectural forms, that that upper class, which claimed a Hellenic identity and at the same time some kind of connection with Rome, adopted a number of Roman buildings. One is the arena, or in the absence of arena, the remodeling of a theater as a place to hold gladiatorial and animal combats, a definitively Roman institution. That is, the mass slaughter of animals and humans to show that the Romans are masters of the universe. Aqueducts and the bathing systems associated, the grand baths, all of that is a Roman architectural form. In some cases, emperors such as Hadrian lent the engineers and architects to construct these projects. In other cases, they were learned by great Anatolian families that had served in the Roman administration, learned about this, and brought their own people in. That meant the arch, that meant concrete, that meant the use of Roman-style buildings and principles to expand and beautify the city. So one of the most magnificent aqueducts is from the city of Aspendus in southern Asia Minor, which also has the privilege of being probably an overpaid project. I think it was 2 million denarii to build it. We have it on the inscription. Cost overruns is also a problem in doing this. Other types of visual arts are the interest in portrait sculpture, putting up portraits of the imperial family, reliefs. The city of Aphrodisias, which is an American excavation going on in southwestern Turkey, I mentioned it earlier, sculpture city. The city you enter in through a magnificent hallway, triple level, which has colonnades on either side, and a whole relief program of the Julio-Claudian family, the heroes of the city. And this type of work is definitely Roman, and every city probably in Asia Minor had programs of this sort. Aphrodisias is remarkable in that the sculptures have survived to us. So that out of family wealth and pride, out of the desire to show themselves as good benefactors to the city in an effort to gain the recognition of the imperial family, the elites of the cities of Asia Minor really recreated their cities as, in many ways, Roman-style cities. Visitors who go to Asia Minor today, Turkey, almost all of them see one site in particular, and that is Ephesus. And it is a remarkable site. Ephesus is not a normal city by ancient standards. It's huge. It may have had 250,000 residents. And that city, perhaps in some way, sums up very much what I'm speaking about of the prosperity and patronage under the Roman Empire. Ephesus was recreated as a veritable Roman cultural capital for Asia Minor. And when you come to Ephesus today and look at the monuments, you're looking at largely a Roman city. It was Greek in origin. The city goes back to the Hellenistic foundation by Lysimachus, one of Alexander's generals. But the principal buildings and monuments you see in Ephesus are from the Roman period. They were dotted with Roman imperial temples to the family of Augustus. The great library that was put up at the end of that axial street was done by a senator, a man of senatorial rank. He was from Ephesus, but was a native to the city. And the architecture, the theater, all of it is essentially a Roman city. And it's in a remarkable testimony how the upper classes of Asia Minor came to terms with this loyalty to Rome, and in some ways, in the end, proved the most successful provincials in the entire Roman world in imposing on the Roman emperor their vision of what an emperor should be, in this constant exchange in which they comported themselves as the representatives of independent cities. And so Ephesus is in many ways the encapsulation of that relationship. And I would like to close with one thought. As amazing as those buildings are to you today, as you see them in their ruined state, and they are, they are one of the major monuments of the Mediterranean world. What is more amazing to me is they were all put up at private expense, that it was that civic elite that poured out the money to put up the buildings and to fund what was even more costly, the games and the holidays that went with them. And that's a good point to close.